WV TAP's health effects panel was chaired by Dr. Michael Dorson of Cincinnati-based nonprofit consulting firm Toxicology Excellence for Risk Assessment, or TERRA for short. Experts reviewed the CDC's short-term drinking water screening level and also established their own for the chemicals in question. All this while not just considering those who ingested the contaminated water, but also those whose skin may have been exposed or those who had inhaled the chemical. The panel also expanded upon the CDC's safety factor of exposure on a one-year-old child and extended it to what they deem the most highly exposed population, a formula-fed infant.
So we have safe levels of exposure that are protective of all populations, and these are average levels for up to 28 days because that's the length of the study. Now, some people would argue that, you know, a rat 28 days is not a human 28 days, and that's correct. It's probably a little bit more for in humans.
Dorson says the CDC used traditional methods in determining their one part per million short-term drinking water screening level. He said the federal agency's number is reasonable and should be considered safe. Still yet, Dorson and WV TAP determined their own screening levels for the chemicals involved in the Freedom Industries spill. WV TAP's review of available data on crude MCHM yielded their own screening level, eight times as stringent as the CDC's.
For 28 days and the average level, these levels are 120 parts per billion for MCHM, which is different than the CDC number, 250 parts per million for DIPPH, which CDC did not give a number. We were able to see the data and feel comfortable to do this. And then 850 parts per billion for PPH. CDC gave a number of 1,200, I believe.
The WV TAP panel made use of a literature review compiled by Dr. Craig Adams of Utah State University, email correspondence with the CDC, as well as syndromic surveillance data provided by Dr. Raul Gupta of the Kanawha Charleston Health Department. Health data compiled by the Bureau for Public Health from doctors practicing in the Kanawha Valley, currently being reviewed by the CDC, was not available to the panel. Dorson says WV TAP researchers would like to see additional studies on MCHM and skin irritation, the effect of the chemical on pregnant animals, as well as proper organization of all available data on exposures and health effects from immediately following the spill.
Again, I wanted to emphasize that these are preliminary findings. The levels that were coming up were safe. The chemicals themselves are, you know, from a look at all the toxicity, they're not very toxic, but there still is a concern.
WV TAP project manager Jeff Rosen contextualized the panel's findings by referring to a recent expert odor analysis study by Dr. Michael McGuire, as well as the 10-home testing project overseen by Dr. Andrew Welton. The highest levels of MCHM from home testing came in at 6.1 parts per billion, although expert odor analysis indicated crude MCHM can be detected as low as 0.15 parts per billion. Here's Rosen.
Those levels that can be smelled are way below the level that Dr. Dorson just reported to you that it's safe, way below. So you can smell the crude MCHM at levels that are dramatically, at least two orders of magnitude, two, maybe three orders of magnitude, lower than the levels that are safe for your consumption.
Yet despite WV TAP's evaluation thus far, members from the public remain suspicious. Maya Nye of People Concerned About Chemical Safety pressed for answers.
I read in some of the reports that PPH was noted as being harmful to aquatic life, slightly toxic. Focal necrosis was another something that was listed as a potential health risk.
Nye also asked the panel about a recent report from the Wall Street Journal, which cited a 1998 material safety data sheet on MCHM. It indicated potential blood disorders as a result of exposure to the chemical. Dorson responded by noting two health effects studies on rats.
The 28-day study, one of the effects that was this idea of first adverse effect critical was anemia. And one of them was damage to the kidney. So the panel looked specifically at that and actually focused in on that as the critical effect, which, by the way, so did CDC.
WV TAP's $750,000-plus contract ends May 15th, at which time they plan to make recommendations and submit a proposal for an expanded home testing program currently being designed by Rosen. No funding has yet been approved by Governor Tomlin to continue the research. Tomlin said during a press conference yesterday, in order to continue the project or to provide any more funding to WVTAP, the state would have to write a new contract and put it out for bidding, just as any other contract would be required under state purchasing procedures. The team's initial funding was granted under executive powers that allow the governor to approve funding during a state of emergency, but that state of emergency is no longer in place. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Dave Mistich in Charleston.